It is a good morning, isn't it? As far as I know, God is in charge. Yes. And the first song we sang was, Hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigns. When I heard that, something exploded inside of me, but let me greet first and to say, I thank God for the honor and the privilege of being here this morning and to serve all of you wonderful people. You should see the view from here, all of your smiling faces. I pray that God will raise even your smile into a laughter, into a rejoicing, Amen. That he will turn your mourning into dancing. Amen. But as you walk out of here, you will see the grace and salvation of God manifest in a practical way for you. May the Lord strengthen your soul today. May you look and say, surely the Lord is good to me. That's how we approach God, because nobody approaches God and leaves the same. In his presence, there is fullness of joy evermore. You can't receive from God beyond your expectation. Raise that expectation. Whether it's in your private closet, whether you're driving, whether you're showering, you do God every day, and every time your expectation will be of God. It's called faith. Faith is confident concerning God. Therefore, faith has an expectation of God. Amen. Can I say that again? Faith is confident in God. Therefore, faith has an expectation of God all the time. I was saying to the people yesterday that God, what's God going to do with his anointing? He doesn't need his anointing. It was for you to break your yokes. When you think about all the things God says, it's for us. Enjoy. It's your inheritance. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get ready to enjoy God's inheritance for you. Well, I want to really, really, really thank my hosts who have quickly become friends, and a brother and a sister, Pastor Young, Pastor Daphne, for their kind hospitality. You have great leaders. And the Bible says, the Queen of Sheba looked at the people of Israel, and she said this to them, because the Lord has loved Israel, he's giving you these leaders. Amen. Don't ever take your leaders for granted, because your destiny is tied to a leader. I work in different parts of the world. I work a lot with leaders, and so political leaders, economic leaders, CEOs, church leaders. And I remember when I was growing up in church, my pastor, my first pastor, was a politician. And a lawyer, he was head of the lawyers association in a nation. You know, I didn't know that I would be called to minister to politicians. But God in his wisdom chose, when I was ignorant, to put me under a man who had that grace and that anointing. Yeah. Who raised me for 16, 17 years. And I had no idea, no inclination at all. You have no idea where God is taking you. So when he connects you to a pastor and its leaders, stay there. Because there's an impartation, there's a grooming. My pastor didn't even know what my call was. He just knew that God had asked him to invest in me. And in those days, they didn't do women ministry, but this man, he would always say, he used to call me Cici, and he'll say, because I'm Celia, Cecilia. And he would say, if you were only a boy, if you were only a man. And yet he would treat me like I was a man, against all the odds, and believe in me. You have no idea where you're going, but God in his wisdom has chosen a house for you. Amen. Be planted, yes, there. Amen. Don't you dare go anywhere. Amen. Don't you? Can I? No. Do you know how much we shortchange our future? Yeah. Today, I have no, there's no way I'll stand anywhere. He's somewhere, and he doesn't even know I'm talking like this. And I'm his legacy. Yeah. I'm doing what he couldn't do, where he couldn't go. But I'm thank God that I stayed. You should have seen my pastor. You have a nice, my pastor used to shout at me. You know, yes, because I'm supposed to be doing announcements and I'd invariably always forget, get something wrong. And he would sit there and hundreds of people like, what can't this girl ever get it right? And you know what? I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the training, for the pruning. I truly, truly, there is no way I thank God and don't thank him for my life. Because you know what? He treated me as a daughter. Amen. He gave me a break. I used to do announcements in church. That was my first public speaking. What you see today is a product of somebody who used to do announcements in church. Amen. I gained the confidence. Amen. If you find a place to serve, you better serve. Amen. Okay? I had my he allowed me to lead our missions into prisons. And I had my very first conference in prisons, in a woman's prison. Can you imagine? Wow. Conference head, conference speaker in a prison. And I thank God for a pastor that allowed me to do this. Your life is never from today here. And then today, there's a process. It's called growth. And in that process, God brings you people to shape your life. It's not always going to be pleasant, and you're not ever always going to understand it. But I've learned one thing: to maximize. Are you understanding me? Can you hear my accent? Yes. To the opportunity God gives you. Amen. And every day is a day of opportunity. Right. Are you going to trust Him with your life?
Yes.
Trust the Lord with your life. Yes. Say, I trust the Lord with my life.
I trust the Lord with my life.
Lead me in paths of righteousness. For your name's sake. I don't know how we got there. I was just thanking God for your pastors.
Amen.
And I want to thank God for Pastor Lynette, Pastor Nathaniel. So good to see faces that I know here. And thank you for the faithful work you're doing. And thank you. You know what? If you weren't here, there would be no church.
Amen. That's right.
Thank you for showing up.
Amen.
Eye has not seen. Always remember this. Ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for you. Wake up in the morning, look out, draw, open up your window and say, it's a good day. The Lord Almighty reigns.
Amen.
I came through, I was sitting upstairs, and as I came through and we were singing, hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigns, I was happy. You know why I was happy? Because when somebody reigns over something, they have control over the thing. You just confessed your future. You said, hallelujah, no matter what comes against me, the King of glory, whose I am and who have I served, He reigns, He's in control. That's why there can be a Red Sea and you still understand the Lord God Almighty reigns, because if He made the sea, He has command over the sea. I don't know what you face this morning, but I want to talk to you very, very quickly and very briefly about a life that is impacted by grace and by favor. Grace and by favor. And I'm going to start with 1 Peter chapter 5. Are you still with me? So Holy Spirit, cause the eyes of our understanding, Master, to be enlightened this morning. Give unto us the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the word of God do good to our lives like medicine. Let it transform our thinking. Let it transform our perspectives. Let it color the lenses through which we see life. We want to see you high and lifted up. We want to know you. For the Bible says, when we behold you, we are transformed into the same image. Let your word present you to us in a way that you should be beheld, and cause us to see. In seeing, cause us to see. In hearing, cause us to hear. Let the entrance of your word bring transformation. Let it build somebody this morning. Let it encourage somebody this morning. Let it break the yoke of mourning and weariness and despair and depression and helplessness over somebody this morning. Let it strengthen somebody this morning. Let your word, oh God, nourish somebody this morning. Above all, God, let it make us stewards of faith this morning. Grant us grace. And as I speak about grace, let grace move. As I speak about favor, let favor speak in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Peter makes a remarkable statement about grace in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 to 11. He says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And he says, grace will do certain things. It'll perfect you. He said, this is what I'm asking grace to do. Perfect you. Establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. I like the translation. It says, and the grace of God who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a while, will Himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The wonderful thing about this verse is this. And the Amplified says, after you have suffered a while, the God of all grace who imparts His blessing and favor.
Amen.
Okay? Who called you to His own eternal glory in Christ will Himself complete or perfect you, confirm you, strengthen and establish and settle you. The first thing I learned from this is that God is aware of my suffering. You know that's very encouraging, Pastor Lynette, because when you are suffering, you think you are alone. Where is God in all this? Anybody think that before?
Yes.
It feels alone, right?
Yes.
And that's where our discouragement comes. But if God has referred to, you're going to suffer a while, as long as I know He knows what I'm going through, I'm cool. I'm cool. Is anybody cool this morning? I'm cool. Because I know He knows. He knows. And if He knows, He's going to do something about it. And He says a while. In other words, there's a limitation. There's an expiration date on your suffering. I don't care what you're going through right now. It's not forever. There's an expiration date. And we declare over you, it will not go 1 minute beyond how God has assigned it to go. He's the author and finisher of your faith. There's nothing that happens to you that He does not know. His eye is upon the sparrow. He's also watching over you. When we talk about the Lord being your shepherd, do you know that God then takes responsibility for your life? Because the shepherd takes responsibility for the sheep. In other words, he has to present, he has to give account of the sheep. Whenever the shepherd shows up, he has to give account. That's why even in scripture, when Jesus is about to die, in John 17, he's standing before the Lord and he said, God, everybody you gave me, I shepherded them. They are all here. Then he remembers there's one absent because 12 was what he was giving. Now he's counting 11. He said, oh, I remember, but the other one was never one of us. He's the son of perdition. The Holy Spirit has to give account for you. He's your shepherd. That's why he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I wish I was preaching chapter 23, but I'm not, you know. But he leads you. He's aware of everything that starts in your life. In fact, I'm going to mash this all up. Because you know when they leave the sheepfold to go, the shepherd carries everything that they need. Every single need that the sheep are going to need. He carries a staff to war against any opposition that's coming. That is a God who knows ahead of time the things that are going to oppose you.
That's right.
If you walk out of here and you face anything, let's look at the thing and say, God knows something about this that I don't know. Because the shepherd will always carry something that acknowledges that there will be harm on the way. And he knows exactly what harm. He carries a rod. He carries to correct you. Because and staff to hook you out, because he knows you'll be going to be rebellious and one day you'll fall somewhere. I like the fact that before I started my day, the Holy Spirit knew exactly what I needed for the day. He's one step ahead of me. Comfort yourself with those words. And by the way, he says the Lord. Who is the Lord? When you start to say the Lord is my shepherd, who is this Lord? He's the Lord strong and mighty. The creator and the possessor of all things. The one that they say, is anything too hard for him? One of my favorites is when he stretches his hand to do something concerning your life, who can stop him? Who can delay it? Who can change it? Aren't you happy? You're not an excited people. Let it show on your face. I am happy. I'm praising myself happy right now. I'm preaching myself happy. You know what? Because when you know something about the Lord, it makes you, some people will think you're arrogant. You're not arrogant. You just know the King. He's the one they call the King of Kings. He's the one they call the Ancient of Days. Who got there before your problem got there? What is it that he cannot solve? Hallelujah. He commands the seas. He commands the waters. He is God Almighty. All by himself. God, just, you understand what I'm saying? When you say the Lord is my shepherd, don't just think some small shepherd. No, he is Adonai, owner and controller of all things. Ah, you know what is her name? Deborah said. She said, when the people came against her, never be afraid of what comes against you. Just start to look up at what is for you. Amen. Too many times we fix our eyes on what is against us and not who is for us. The enemies were more than the people of Israel. But when they came against her, you remember she said, I'm not even going to go to war. Barak, you go. God wants to show himself off. You know, she said, the sun and the moon, they fought for us. How does the sun and the moon fight for us? What happened is the enemy had chosen, they had chariots. So they chose a place of advantage to war against the people of Israel. And God said, chill. Look at your neighbor, say, God's telling you, chill right now. Whatever you do, chill, chill.
Chill.
Chill. Take a chill pill, as they say. You know what happened? God said, whenever you see the enemy, leave him. Everything that is created is subject to the Creator,
amen,
including the devil. Every single thing that is created is subject to the Creator. And so what happens is, they chose their side of the battle, and God said, leave them. And then when it looked like they were going to win, God sent, when he said the star and the moon fought for us, God changed atmospheric conditions. It began to rain. The last thing you need when you have a chariot is rain. Because where you are now becomes muddy. And the chariot's wheels cannot flow through the mud. And so the enemy, what came as a strength, now becomes a liability. That's why Sisera got off the chariot and ran. And by the time he got there, Jael was waiting.
Amen.
And God likes to show off, okay? Not by power, nor by might. God likes to show off. So what he does is that he's going to let you be brought down by somebody you didn't even think was capable.
Wow.
So he get there, and this woman has some yogurt, her husband's toolbox, and a heart that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that finishes off the enemy.
Yeah.
Aren't you in awe of God?
Yes.
That's why sometimes whatever you are facing, don't say, you know what our biggest problem is? How's God going to solve this? Leave him, he's God.
Amen.
He's kind of brilliant like that, just in case you didn't know. Who else but God would cause somebody to win a battle that army generals can't win? With a toolbox.
Yeah.
And a cup of yogurt. Oh, I forgot. And a lovely guest room. Because she offered a man a rest. May the Lord order the steps of everything
Amen.
That comes against you. And may he show himself strong concerning you. He says that you are suffering, but remember it's only a little while. And then the God of all grace, and I probably won't get very far beyond all grace. There are many types of grace. When we think of grace, we always think of the grace of salvation. But there are many, many different types of grace that covers our whole life. He says what? It will restore your grace. Grace that restores you back. It makes you strong. It makes you firm. There are different kinds of grace. The Bible talks about abundant grace. It talks about exceeding grace. I was talking to a woman yesterday. I said, when God does something awesome, know that that was just a down payment for more. Want more. Everybody say more.
More.
Too many of us don't want more. We just want to survive. Want more. Exceeding grace. Then he talks about exceeding abundant grace. When he talks about different kinds of grace, it's suggesting that it speaks of grace that is available for all times and for all different types of situations. Whenever you go through any situation, call for grace. Say, Father, let your grace abound. Let your grace abound. Let your grace abound. Because there are different graces for different occasions. Because grace is customized to fit your situation. When Paul pleaded for God to deal with Satan's attacks, that thorn in the flesh, God replied, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Every time you're weak, God's strength shows up. Every time you're weak, and he likes to show off a little bit. That's why he allows your strength to manifest, your weakness to manifest, so that his strength will show. So there are different kinds of grace. There's a grace that perfects. It's what we call katatizo. Katatizo is a mending grace. It takes broken things and it makes them whole. I don't know what is broken in your life. I don't know what is broken in your attitude. I don't know what is broken in your walk with God. I don't know what is broken in your heart, but I came to announce to you there's a grace to fix that.
Amen.
It's a grace that restores you, he says. Then there's a grace that makes you complete. Grace that establishes you. It confirms spiritual knowledge. Grace for growth. You're struggling with reading the Bible. You're struggling with praying. Say, Father, I am a candidate for grace. Send that grace. Give me that grace that sees me through. Grace that covers every eventuality. There's grace that strengthens you. Maybe you're weak one day, strong one day in your faith. It settles you. It makes you steadfast. The Bible says, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It means that there's always something that's going to threaten you to bring you down. Be steadfast. I've seen so many things happen. You know, you hear so many things happen to Christians, and you realize that don't be presumptuous. You need to be intentionally steadfast. And so this morning, Father, we say we are steadfast in your grace. Grace that keeps us going. Grace that keeps us focused on Jesus. Grace that keeps our faith sound. And grace that influences every choice and decision you make for Jesus. And then he says, grace that settles you. Grace that gives you direction. Grace that settles you. To settle you means it lays a basis for a solid foundation for you. So that you are increasingly grounded in God's ways and love. You see, grace understood is one of the most liberating themes in Scripture. Grace is very liberating. Let me say this. Grace is as much what God does for you undeservedly and unreservedly for you as it is what he doesn't do, though you deserve it. This morning, I think the song leader talked about the mercies of God. Grace doesn't need you to qualify for it. It is what God chooses to do for you, to you undeservedly and in an unreserved way. It's generous. It is as much what God does for you that you didn't deserve. Wherever there is grace, there will be mercy. It's a gift from God. We call it unmerited favor. It is the most important concept in life. Grace is the most important concept in life. Grace, and let me define it this way, my way. Grace is that supernatural interference an intervention in your life that causes shame, reproach, failure to become double honor and victory for you. Amen. Grace is that which causes you to triumph in spite of the odds. It causes the impossibilities in your life to start with stories that say, and it came to pass. Amen. Anybody waiting for something to come to pass? Yes. May grace speak concerning you today. We declare that you will say, and it came to pass. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. He promised and it came through because of grace. Now, this is important because sometimes we don't always do what God wants us to do. Has anybody displeased God before? Has anybody been disobedient? I want to see by show. Have you been disobedient to God? And how many times have you come before God feeling condemned? My hand is up too. Well, this is where grace comes in. Grace said, I know you were foolish, but that's why I provided grace for myself, that I might override your foolishness and still do what I want to do concerning you. That's why we come to God and we are thankful, because grace, his grace has brought me safe that far, and it's still grace. Aren't you excited that grace will lead you on? Because wherever you go, at any point in your life, the Bible says Jesus Christ is made to us the grace of God. It is what we causes you to say, look what the Lord has done. And finally, God's grace, it settles you. You know, when something settles you, a settling is a settling of contention. When you settle a dispute, what do? You sort it out, right? Grace always comes to sort out the things that contend against your well-being. Amen. I like that. Grace settles and sorts out the things that contend against your well-being. Be thankful for grace. Everybody lift up your hands and be thankful for grace. Thank him for the grace. Everything you thank God for abounds back towards you. Everything you thank God for multiplies back towards you. Everything you thank God for builds up your faith and your confidence. Grace abounds. Grace abounds. Grace abounds. I just as I left England, on my way to the airport, I was called by TBN to do a commentary on the hymn, How Great Thou Art. It's 75 years old. It's number two in the worldwide hymn selection. Number two, even unbelievers like How Great Thou Art, because he speaks to them. Guess what number one is? Amazing Grace. Wow. Among unbelievers. Because even they understand that it was grace that brought us this far. And we are not afraid of the future. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because grace will lead us on. You see, grace is what leads you on, because the shepherd is a shepherd of grace. I told you, when you start your journey, what does he do? He carries with him what you're going to need for the rest of the journey. I don't know why God, I was wanting to talk about favor, but maybe another time, because I keep coming back to the 23rd Psalm, because somebody needs comfort this morning. And what did he come? He said, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Pastor Lynette, what happens in this? In life, every day is not the same. Okay, let me do the settling first. Or remind me to do the settling, okay? How grace settles disputes concerning you. It stops the controversy. And it stops the enemy in its tracks. So the shepherd, and everything is a shepherd of grace. He's carrying everything. But the shepherd also is the one who directs your life and orders your steps. You know, remember the steps of the righteous are what? Yes. They are ordered by God. Right. They are ordered by the shepherd. The one thing the shepherd does is an ordering. So he leads you. The thing that makes it work is you follow. Yes. The thing that makes grace work is that you follow. All he asks is for your obedience. So he is leading you. But what happens is you get to a time in life where he frustrates you. Has God ever frustrated anybody? You know how God frustrates you. He makes it impossible for you to move on. A lot of stuff we call the devil sometimes is God. It's the shepherd. He makes it impossible for you. You think, ooh, progress, progress. And you are marching on, and suddenly, boop, he stops. And most of the time, that's why faith is necessary. Whatever you see, just trust him. He started the journey with you, and I told you, he's eternally with you. He never went anywhere. He never went anywhere. This is the sensitive point. Because even Job thought God had forgotten him. And he made some statements, and God opened his mouth, and he was so angry with Job. And he says, who is this that darkens my counsel with your words without wisdom? Lift up your hands and say, forgive me, God, when I've spoken words without wisdom. Have I been the only one who has spoken words without wisdom?
No.
Huh? You've judged the situation even though you are not God. Are you all knowing? Is anybody ready to repent? Say, just lift up your hand. Just repent right there. Say, God, come on. Say, God, I have too. I felt like, God, you abandoned me. God, where are you? God, the enemy feels like he's having the upper hand. No, 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 no. He's always in control of my life. He's always my shepherd. Say, he's always my shepherd. There's not one moment where the shepherd leaves the flock. You know? So what he does is this. He told Job, and you know how he questioned Job? He said, okay, Job, now you, Lynette, you have decided you know everything about your life, right? You will shepherd your own life. Tell me, where were you when I made the world and I measured it? Were you there? By the way, since when did you last measure the world? Well, since you don't know everything, as we say in England, shut your face. When you go through times, it's better to say, I don't know what is happening, but I know who is happening with me. It's better to say you're still in control. It's better to sing a song and say, ah, God reigns. When you rule, you rule. Of his government in my life, let there be no end. And so what happens is that the shepherd frustrates the sheep and doesn't allow them to go. Sometimes he uses the devil a little bit. The devil is also God's servant. You do know that. He's allowed. But there's two reasons why this happens. Only the shepherd knows how far the rest of the journey is because he's taking you somewhere. I know the plans that I have for your life. Plans to prosper. He's taking you somewhere. And only he knows how far the rest of the journey is. But he also knows something about this peer. He knows what your stamina is. You can't take it. You won't make it. So where he makes you to lie down is not to frustrate you. It's to give you a chance to eat green pasture and drink water. And by the time you're ready to go, you are set for business. Time doesn't allow me to. But I remember in 1994, 92, that's what God did with me. I was doing very well as a pastor. I was doing very well running a Bible college. Everything in life was rosy and God shut me down. And he said, go to school in America. Well, going to school in America means I'm going to lie on the floor. I have no business. I have no work. I couldn't even afford 30 cents cup of coffee. It was like, God, you brought me here down. Now, if God hadn't given me a revelation before I left, I would have abandoned my whole destiny. But you know what God told me? He says, number one, you've been walking in hope, calling it faith. I'm going to teach you how to walk. I used to think I was a woman of faith. And God says, no. You walk in hope. Hope is an expectation. Faith has a different attitude. Wow. He said, I'm going to teach you how to walk in faith. Today, I live by faith.
Amen. Wow.
And then number two, he says, I have great plans for you to be a global leader. He said, but you haven't got what it takes. So I'm slowing you down to make you into the woman. What you see today is a thing of grace, and grace is still working in my life. I don't want you to ever call what God is doing in your life the devil, because God never says the devil has control of your life. The devil is not your shepherd unless you allow him to. May God forgive us when we have spoken foolishness, and God molded me. I don't have time to tell you that. But one of the things that, aren't you glad that God knows when to stop you? And this will be a cycle of everybody's life. The Lord is my shepherd is a cycle of our whole lives. And it's still grace speaking. So finally, the Bible says that he leads you in paths of righteousness. These are all he leads you. The choices you make, he influences those choices. Every day pray, God, influence the choice and decision of my life. Influence the choices and decision. Can you make this? I don't always make good decisions, but thank God for the Holy Ghost who influences my thinking, my perspectives. And then, you know, he says, in the presence of my enemies, he prepares a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. I told you the shepherd knows what you need, right? And he knows what's going to happen to you on the way. So on the journey of taking you, he carries a certain oil, two different kinds of oil. One of those oils is to take care of the fleas and the gnats. Have you ever seen cattle? Some of you, maybe you're just on TV, right? Or the zoo. Okay. If you see lamb and goats and sheep, you'll always see them, they're always doing this. They're like mad, okay? That's what happens when they're mad cow disease. And what happens is the fleas and the flies knit at them so that it makes them hit their head against the wall to smash. The enemy always wants to destroy. And that's why God gives us the grace of peace so that we don't lose it mentally. The shepherd carries oil, and he smears that oil over their heads, and he puts off the flies. But the important thing that touches my heart is he carried it before the fly showed up. I don't care where you're going in the future. I know a shepherd who came prepared for every single eventuality. Therefore, when you hit a roadblock, stand back and say, "Shepherd, take over." Trust him. Sing songs of trust and faith. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. You don't sing it here? Because he holds my future. And you know one of the things, the other oil he holds is, again, when they get to a place where now they see the food, now they have arrived, now they see breakthrough, and he still doesn't release them to go. He's always guiding your steps. The rhythms of your life are dictated by him. Don't be in a hurry to overtake God. May God deliver us from presumptuous decisions. We're always in a hurry. That's why the Bible says it is with faith and patience that you possess the promise of God. And so the last thing I want to say is this. As they get there, whenever they get to the food, they see it. And he doesn't always allow them to go. He stops them. Of course, they are frustrated. May the Lord forgive us for all of our complaints and our murmurings. I am the only one who murmurs, right? Because I don't understand what God is doing. So a good prayer to pray is, teach me your ways that I may know you. A good prayer to pray when you're going through a bad time is, set a watch over my lips that I might not sin against you. Open my eyes. Give me understanding. And so he takes the other oil that he brings. And this oil is a very thick oil. The shepherd always knows something the sheep don't know. And he goes in and there are vipers and snakes in the ground, in the holes. The sheep don't know it. They don't see it. But the shepherd does. That's why, aren't you glad you have a shepherd whose name is all-knowing? Omniscient God. He puts it, and he's a God of wisdom. He doesn't pour the oil into the hole. He puts it around every hole. Every hole. Then he let, of course, we never know what God is doing. We're just marveling. He lets the sheep in. They start eating. As soon as they start grazing, the snakes come from the ground, trying to bite these sheep. Snakes are always, that's why the Bible talks about the snare. They're always hidden. The trappings of the enemy are always hidden, never open. And when the snakes start to eat, the sheep start to eat, the snakes come off the ground. Aren't you glad for a good shepherd? But one thing is, the snakes can't slither past the oil. So they are trapped in the oil. The oil is around their circle. And the way the oil is, they can't slither past it. And the sheep are still grazing, eating. Innocently, they are not even aware that there are snakes there. Do you know how many things God has delivered you from? That's why when we come and we say, let's praise God, don't you be waiting for a rhythm. Don't be conscious of anybody. Sing, dance, come out of that chair, fling yourself all over the place. Do you know I sat there, Pastor Leonard, you know what I was thinking? The Bible says the sun shall not smite you by day. That means by day, there's something wanting to smite me. Nor the moon by night. By night, something is wanting to smite me. Pastor Nathaniel, he says, he will deliver you from the pestilence that walketh in darkness. In other words, every time there is dark, there's a pestilence that is walking, trying to get you. From the distraction at noonday. At noonday, there's a distraction trying to get you. Every day, every minute of the day, there's something trying to get you. And because of the Lord's mercies, we have not been consumed. Because we have a good shepherd, why don't you praise him right now? Why don't you honor him right now? When I wake up and I'm thanking God, I am conscious. I just came past the night time. And there was what? Was there a pestilence? What is it that walketh in darkness? The distraction. I've been brought through distraction. You're going to go through all of today, noonday. What is it that wastes at noonday? Something also wastes at noonday. Every moment my shepherd is with me. So let me finish this. As they begin to eat, the snakes can't slither through and they just watch the sheep eat. But the devil always has an ace up his sleeve. So they begin to charm the sheep to come towards them. The movements they make, and sheep are curious and stupid. So as they go near, the smell of the oil puts the sheep off. See, God, the shepherd is smart. He takes care of your enemy, and he knows you're vulnerable, so he takes care of you at the same time. Amen. So that he delivers your feet from every snare. And the sheep eat safely. And all the enemy can do is watch. In the presence of your enemies, he has prepared a table before you. Hallelujah. I came to tell you, whatever table has been prepared for you, no matter what happens to you in life, His grace is sufficient. There's abundant grace. There's exceedingly abundant grace. The grace of God that will cause you, instead of shame and reproach, there will be double honor. Instead of being bowed down, your head will be lifted up. Rise to your feet as we give thanks to God. Rise to your feet, and maybe you need grace this morning. Maybe they are going through some difficult time of your life. I'm done. Maybe you're going through some challenges in your life this morning. And you, is there anybody who needs the grace of God to abound? You need grace to settle you. Grace settles disputes. Grace settles contention. By the way, to settle something is also to give to you, to take from the one who has taken from you, and to give to you what you deserve right now. May God settle every contention and every dispute over your destiny. May he make your feet like hinds feet. May he cause you to leap over troops and jump over walls. May the favor of God speak for you where you cannot speak. This morning, lift up your hands. Grace has no limits. Grace has no limits. Grace has no limits. And Father, right now, we pray for your people against every spirit of condemnation. To the people that think, I didn't pray enough, grace says, I'm praying for you. Where you have not prayed enough, that's why you need grace. Where you didn't have enough faith, that's why you need grace. Grace is not condemnatory. Grace takes condemnation and turns it around, because grace comes out of the love of God. This morning, Father, your people come with burdens. They come with pressure. They come with helplessness. We come with weakness. But we have declared, we will lift up our eyes unto the hills. From whence will our help come? Our help comes from the Lord of grace and mercy. Our help comes, everybody declare, my help comes from the Lord of grace and mercy. Let grace abound. Let grace settle. Let grace make a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, let grace, oh God, cause things that are impossible to become mission accomplished in their life. Let grace bring healing right now, because healing is an act of grace. Let it bring peace. Let it bring joy. Oh God, let it restore things that are broken in their lives, oh God, to those who need jobs, to those who need provision this morning. Let grace do what it actually does best, is to speak in our lives. El Shaddai, God, the all-breasted one, there is nothing that is impossible to you. And as we come before you, nobody came before you and left the same. This is not going to be changed, different. So this morning, Sunday, the what, 15th of September, let it be a day we can mark and say, grace moved, grace spoke, grace extended its hand, favor arrested me. May God show himself strong before you this week. May by the end of this week, may every one of us have a testimony of grace. May we look and say, look what the God of grace has done. Now clap your hands and celebrate. That's what you believe. Now listen. I gotta sit down now. When you celebrate something, you celebrate in expectation. When the goodness of God in an ark was coming, the Bible says, what's his name? Danced. David danced. He danced in expectation. Whatever you celebrate abounds towards you. You can only celebrate as much as you see. I don't know about you, but I see grace on its way. I see exceedingly abundant grace. So celebrate grace like that and let God know, God, I'm ready for some more. I'm ready for some more. Now clap your hands and celebrate and shout to the Lord with a voice of victory as you celebrate the grace of God. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. He's a liberating God. He's a masterful God. He's a forceful God. He's a merciful one. He's a God of all truth. He has spoken and he will not lie. God bless you this week.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.